Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Podcast in a Pear Tree. We're so glad to have you with us. My name is Aaron Lee.
I'm Samantha.
And Danielle.
And we are so excited to talk about a few things, but oh my goodness, GAC is still gaslighting me. I went to set up our recordings. Last week, we talked about how GAC was going to be showing us the knockoff Scottish Christmas movie. Wasn't there. We had to do Get Him Back for Christmas with the Penavegas instead. I'm on to you, GAC. I am on to you. We'll talk about that a little later. Let's start off with, as we promised, a quick discussion about Finding Mr. Christmas. Samantha, you and I have been having so much fun with this. What are your initial thoughts? Talk about it.
I loved this reality show. I thought it was cute, so fun to watch, and you're really rooting for these guys. I feel like we're really a part of their story, and so I'm really excited to watch the film that the winner gets to be in, which I saw an advertisement for it just before we jumped on the pod tonight, and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at him. He's doing so good. I want to see how good he does in the film. Like, I'm like a proud mom.
Well, I mean, these guys, though, aren't actually actors, right? They're competing to be in a film, but they actually don't have backgrounds as actors. They're just
not necessarily. One of them was on the national tour of Hamilton for 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some with like a little experience, and then there's some with zero experience.
A couple of them are models. They're like, I'm a model from the modeling world. And then there's at least one who was like, I went to school for acting, but hasn't done anything yet.
Got it.
Yeah.
But I can relate.
But there is an acting part to the challenge. There's a Christmassy, and then they also act, right?
Yeah, so most of the episodes started with what they called the festive face-off, which was like Christmassy challenge, and we're going to test your Christmas spirit. And then they had the star quality challenge, which was more an acting challenge. But then, as Samantha was saying, sometimes there was like a surprise secret challenge within the challenge.
Okay.
So when they had to do the scene on ice skates, one of the skaters would come along and fall down on purpose. And if the actor stopped and helped that skater up, then they passed. And if they didn't, one guy did not help the skater up. And I was so glad because he was bugging me the whole time. I did not like that guy and wanted him out. And he didn't pick up the skater. And I was like, he's gone. He's gone because he did not pick up that skater.
I know, and he got eliminated for it. But it's really about not only the acting and the looks, the charisma. It's also about, you know, having heart. As a Hallmark-leaning man, you have to have the spirit of Christmas and a good heart. And so that's what that was all about, to kind of test, would they really help someone in stress or something like that. So,
and I also liked that the show brought in a lot of the Hallmark stars to be guest judges and to work with these actors in the scenes that they were doing, which was really fun. And all of those actors talked about what a family Hallmark was and how they felt so included in the group at Hallmark. And that really warmed my heart as well.
You know what else I loved about it is that they never lost sight of Christmas in the whole thing. The house that they stayed in, it was like a cabin. I think they filmed this in Utah. And
yeah, I think so. Or Colorado.
It was decked out, decorated to perfection, and also
snow-capped mountains in the background.
Yeah, and they had to have brought in wardrobe for these guys because they're constantly in Christmas sweaters, holiday attire.
100%.
They looked
fantastic
the entire time, and they're always sipping on hot cocoa. They never missed a beat.
Okay,
it was perfect.
Samantha, did you have a favorite throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys.
Who was your
I
favorite?
Liked.
Tell me.
I mean, I did like the Australian guy.
Hayden.
I liked him. Yeah, Hayden. I thought he was great, and he had a really great personality. For a while, I liked Blake. That didn't have any acting experience. The cowboy.
Right. He kept saying, "I have no acting experience,"
and he did pretty well.
He did.
Considering a lot of the guys that came in, you know, out of the gate, they were kind of cocky about it. I'll say, like, I have acting experience. I've been acting since I was a child. Those guys, they didn't
my
really
mom's
do
a professional
well.
Gift wrapper, so I have this one in the bag. His name was Gage, and he was annoying.
Yes,
sorry, Gage.
Annoying. Did you have a favorite
first episode? I was like, I like Parker. He's not gonna win, but I like him.
Yeah,
like I wanted to hang out with him, but I knew he wasn't gonna win. I thought Hayden was gonna take it. I really thought he was gonna go all the way with his acting challenges. And then just talking about the finale here, Danielle, we are gonna spoil this. I'm sorry, I have to, because it was a little bit of a shocker for me. The final episode was Elijah, who was the guy who spent 5 years touring with Hamilton, Hayden, who was from Australia, and Ezra, who was a model. And I thought Ezra was kind of the wild card here. I thought throughout the competition, Hayden did the best acting-wise. In the final scene, I actually thought Elijah did the best acting-wise. And then Ezra won. I was kind of shocked. Were you?
I was a little shocked, but the part that didn't shock me, though, was that I felt like they liked him as that Hallmark hunk. You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. Like, he very much fit the brand.
He fit the brand. Not that he was a dark horse, but he kind of coasted through the whole thing. I thought he was a dark horse
because until he did that split on roller skates, he was very forgettable for me.
Right.
And then I was like, oh yeah, Ezra, the guy who can roller skate, make a cocktail, and do split.
But if you notice, during the confessionals, they do give him a lot of screen time, which is very telling in other reality shows, i.e. The Bachelor and things like that. When they get a lot of screen time, you're like, yeah, they're going to go far. They may or may not win, but they'll go far.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about this all night, but yeah. Danielle would go to sleep. So we're going to move on and talk about some of these movies that we watched this week. I thought this was a pretty good week, all things considered. Let's start off with Hallmark. They aired Hanukkah on the Rocks on Friday, The Santa Class on Saturday, and something I didn't watch on Sunday.
I don't think any of us watched it, so that's fine.
Anyway, do you want to start with Hanukkah on the Rocks? Because that was the one that aired first.
Sure. Danielle and I watched this one.
I watched it too.
You watched it too?
Of course.
I mean, Emily, you did way better than us in watching movies this weekend.
Yeah, we crammed them.
I crammed too. I was watching one this morning.
Yeah. So are we.
I'm like, well, I got Hanukkah up at 4:45 to watch a movie.
Oh my gosh. I envy you when you do that. It's so funny. When we used to be in the office, we would go to work at 7 a.m. and Aaron Lee had already watched a movie. I would be at work at 7. He would come in a little bit later and then we would chat about what we've been watching similar to this podcast. And Aaron Lee had already watched a film before work.
That's insane. My brain would not be working at that point.
Sometimes my brain is not working. Okay, well, tell us about Hanukkah on the Rocks.
So Hanukkah on the Rocks starts a week before Hanukkah, where the main character, she's a corporate lawyer. Her name is Tori, and she ends up getting laid off. So, you know, she's also questioning her life. Did she make the right choices becoming the type of lawyer that she did, taking the first job out of law school, this and that. Meanwhile, she's helping her bubby find these perfect candles for her menorah. And there's this other guy who his grandfather is also needing candles. And the meet cute basically is they kind of run into each other in this shop where they're both going for the same box of candles.
Oh, so cute.
Very, very cute.
Also been done before.
Yeah. And so he lets her have, or no, she lets him have the box of candles. He goes back to the bar where his family hangs out. And then she goes back to that bar. They have a chat and they're having like Hanukkah celebrations at that bar. And then they need a bartender. They need a bartender because one of the bartenders is going on vacation. And then she bartended in law school and ends up becoming the bartender. Yeah. So she's like, I'll help you out for a couple of nights. So random. Even the grandson, he was like, can you just like hire people like that on the spot? But then all of a sudden she's really enjoying herself and she's taking on this role about like marketing this bar.
She's making like specialty Hanukkah cocktails.
Yes. And so all of a sudden becomes this Hanukkah bar and they call it Hanukkah on the Rocks. They like changed the name and everything.
The bar was originally Rocky's.
Right.
And
right.
So they just turn off the apostrophe in the Y to call and hang up a banner that says Hanukkah on the. So it's Hanukkah on the Rocks.
Yeah. And she's making like Hanukkah cocktails and she's wanting to sell merch. It's really interesting how deep she goes into this job and really starts to enjoy herself. But she hasn't told any of her family that she got laid off. And so it goes from there. The grandson, he's trying to get the grandfather to move to Florida to retire and be closer to the family. And there's just like a lot going on here.
There is much going on in this movie. It's a little overwhelming. I liked it. I walked away from the movie being like, that was fun. I enjoyed it. But looking back on it, I'm like, this was a little wackadoo. It wasn't as wackadoo as last year's one with the weird van that traveled through time.
I don't think I watched that one.
No,
I just
you
remember
did.
Liking the Lisa Loeb one, Hanukkah on Rye.
The Hanukkah on Rye. That's still, I think, my favorite.
This was not as good as that.
Was that the same one?
On Rye, not on the rocks.
Right. I like Hanukkah on Rye, not on the rocks. That's exactly it. I don't think those were the same.
No, they weren't the same. What was last year's?
Hang on. Time travel one? Where, like, it turns out the ring?
Yeah, there's some like, weird thing about the loop.
I just felt like Hanukkah on Rye with Lisa Loeb, that one was funnier. Where this one wasn't, I mean, not that it was meant to be funny, but I felt like it was more of an enjoyable watch. But this one, I liked it, but there were a lot of different storylines going on.
Right. And nothing too unique or special.
Right.
It was fun. I'm one and done on that. Danielle?
Oh, me too.
The same. Yeah. I mean, it was fine.
Well, should we hop on over to Lifetime?
Let's hop on over to Lifetime because I saw The Holiday Junkie, but I know you did too, Danielle. So talk to us about that.
Erin Lee, did you watch all the movies?
I did not watch all the movies. I didn't watch that Dayspring movie.
The one that we can't even recall the title for. But like, seriously, did you watch the other movies that we're thinking about?
I did not watch. I watched The Holiday Junkie. I did not watch Christmas on the Alpaca Farm.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Interesting. I'm surprised. I would have thought that was going to be the one that you saw before anything else. But okay. Well, Samantha, for you, Holiday Junkie. You didn't watch that one, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to, though, because I love Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Right. I mean, that was the motivating factor, was Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I'm like, homegirl, how do you have time? You're already on 911. How do you have time to film a Christmas movie amidst all of this? And I just wanted to go for kicks and, you know, 90s giggles. And there weren't any giggles. But the basic premise is that her character, named Andy, she has this company called The Holiday Junkie that does decorating and planning Christmas activities for your family. She's like a one-stop shop. Technically, it's owned with her mom, but her mom passed away, and so she's doing this for the first time on her own without her mom, so it's kind of sad. Her client is very rich and like a venture capitalist. They're just not home in time, but she's trying to get it all perfect, and then the person who kind of takes care of their home is also there, and then there's the meet-cute. Yes, and he's there. He was supposed to be married the previous year. She lost her mom the previous Christmas. His ex-fiance left him to go travel the world or whatever. She had a change of heart, and of course they're both heartbroken. It's Christmas time. That's the perfect setup, right? So that's basically what it is.
That's pretty much the movie. It was cute.
It's cute.
But I kind of feel the same way I felt about Hanukkah on the Rocks. It was cute, but not incredibly memorable or special or unique. Jennifer Love Hewitt's going to kill me because she's spoken in interviews about how personal this was, having lost her own mother. And especially since it's not just her, it's her husband and their three kids are also in it. So it was really a family movie for them, but it was forgettable for us. I thought they will remember it forever and cherish this movie.
Totally. Yeah. I would say she's on another TV show called 911. It's almost like she was playing that character, has that same sentiment and emotion. So I was like, are we transferring characters over to the movie?
Maybe she's it's just kind of too deep in the zone on her show. And she,
I know. And she was busy because she also directed that.
Oh, right. She was a director. Oh, wow. Yeah. She was very emotional. She wasn't very funny.
I don't think they were shooting for funny.
No.
Oh my gosh, she was also one of the writers.
It could have been cuter.
Writer, director, star.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jennifer Love Hewitt. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you. That's it.
Yeah, we're rooting for all the Party of Five children in the Christmas realm.
I do want to point out her friend, played by Lynn Andrews. I thought Lynn was the comic relief. She was the funny one.
Oh, right, because there was that one time the guy was hitting on her and she goes, I'm gay. And I just like, it was like, what the?
Yeah.
Is that the one? That was the friend?
Yes.
It was so funny. I was just like, whoa. And then that guy was like, all right, never mind. It's really funny.
Like I said, it was just forgettable. I'm so sorry. But I will say this. I think it's the best I've seen from Lifetime this season.
Is it?
What this season has been better on Lifetime.
Didn't we like something else on Lifetime? I swear we liked at least one. No?
The
Plum Hill Manor one?
Oh, it was way better than the Plum Hill Manor.
Okay. Which other
Christmas
one,
in the Spotlight. We kind of liked that.
Oh, yeah. That one's my number one for Lifetime.
Sincerely, Truly Christmas. I liked it.
I think it's Christmas in the Spotlight we all collectively agreed upon being good.
Yes, but I think The Holiday Junkie edged it out for me.
Oh, so Jennifer Love Hewitt is better.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I have a feeling based on her eye rolls that Danielle disagrees.
Based on your review, I wouldn't have guessed that.
I think Christmas in the Spotlight, I had such low expectations that I came in kind of excited about it. And this one, I had higher expectations and it didn't quite meet them, but it still surpassed what Christmas in the Spotlight was.
Interesting.
Danielle, you're being very quiet.
No, I mean, it's just fascinating.
Do you have a favorite Lifetime movie of the year?
Did you like Christmas in the Spotlight better than this one, Danielle?
I didn't like Christmas in the Spotlight as much as you guys did, which is funny. But I'm grateful that you just liked something on Lifetime. No, I actually, and I know, Aaron Lee, you didn't like it, but I did actually appreciate the We Three Kings film a little bit more.
I didn't dislike it. I just felt it was, I don't know. I just felt it was so cliche, the three women having this big fight. I wanted a more creative way to solve the differences.
Alpaca Farm.
Yeah, I mean, Lifetime had Alpaca Farm. I haven't seen this, so tell me, were there lots of alpacas and were they cute?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Samantha, weren't they cute?
I think they were cute.
Yeah, the premise was insane, but...
The premise was like...
Shoot.
I can't wait for this. What? Tell me.
What is happening here? It was so frustrating, but okay, fine. We needed to somehow get to the alpaca farm, but it was a little ridiculous how they got there, or how the main character gets there.
Oh, do you want to just go into it?
Give me a couple sentences. What's this about?
So the main character is a fashion designer, and she's designing Christmas sweaters for this really high-end fashion line. And she wants to be sustainable, so she's using alpaca wool, or I'm sorry, fleece. Alpaca fleece. Gotta be specific with the language.
Alpaca fleece.
Alpaca fleece.
Wool is from sheep. Fleece is from alpacas, apparently.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, learn something educational on Lifetime.
Yes. But let me just say this. What did they call her? Like the best Christmas sweater designer?
Yes.
Like for this brand? Correct. Like she's correct. Like number one. Okay, go, Danielle.
That was already all insane. And so anyway, the alpaca farm that they used to source the fleece for this latest line that she designed. It's a small farm that's right outside of the city, like 2 hours away in New York. And I guess there was something wrong with the order of the fleece. And so basically the owner of the company decides to fire the farm and the designer gets so offended. She's like, well, I'm going to quit.
Quits her job on the spot.
On the spot. Because they were like, well, we're going to switch to cashmere. She's like, how dare you? The future is sustainable and we got to go this direction. And so she quits.
Wow.
I mean, I'm all about standing behind your values. But I was like,
me too. Wait,
you are just like quitting your job on the spot. And then
you, like 14 days before Christmas.
Demand for Christmas sweaters that you can go find another job that quickly.
She decides to enroll in a contest.
Of course, there's a contest.
Yes. By this really huge department store. If you create a 6-piece fashion line and you win, you get money and your line gets sold in their stores, which will put you on the map. She's like, I'm going to compete in this and I'm going to win. And you're
this
just like,
fashion
what
show,
the heck?
Aaron Lee is on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
It's like, what was that one last year where she was designing pajamas for a fashion show on Christmas Eve?
Oh, yeah,
having fashion shows on Christmas
I don't know. It was called Hallmark movie.
It was called Runway to Christmas.
Design had a fashion show on Christmas Eve.
That's the name of the competition was Runway to Christmas.
That's hysterical.
So she quits and now she has to develop her 6-piece fashion line, but she needs the material. So she decides, I'm going to go to that alpaca farm. And like, that farm that just got fired. Like, that they just got like, fired.
They just screwed over this farm so bad.
And so then she forced herself. She goes, she keeps calling, but then the guy who owns the farm isn't picking up her call. So she goes there. She's like, hey, I want to source my stuff from your farm. And he's like, no. And she's like, I'm going to make you say yes.
What? Well, basically, I had to lay off everyone because your company screwed us over. Yeah. There's no one working at this farm anymore.
Yeah. She's like, I will work on the farm. Like,
wait, she goes and works on the alpaca farm.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah.
Fashion line is just Christmas sweaters. Like, it's like.
Yep. And the guy who owns the farm, his wife died conveniently. And so
he's a widower.
He has a daughter. And of course, the daughter likes the designer because she's like bringing the Christmas cheer. Yeah.
Well, There's no words. I'm flabbergasted at what you are telling me.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. Yep. It's you pretty know, good,
this
actually.
This reminds me of the Cozy Christmas Quilt with the 7 different storylines and a road trip yeah. to South America. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
I don't know. It's all about sustainability, which is great. But yes, how you get there is wild.
It's a wild ride.
Bonkers
oh, totally.
Ride.
Okay, so I should watch this. This should be my movie tomorrow morning.
Watch it in the morning before work. Report back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was insane. So, Samantha, I will admit, I didn't quite get to the end. So, do you want the spoiler about it?
So, basically, she gets everything done by Christmas Eve and they Shocking. Have the fashion show, which
they tell her she wins.
Show, yeah. But the fashion show was hilarious to me because the music didn't really match. And like, you're watching this runway show and you're like, it's like really Christmassy music, but it looks really strange. Anyway, so they're showcasing all these Christmas sweaters. She wins the competition, and then her old boss comes up to her, and she's like, yeah, I realize I'm just not up with the times on the sustainability stuff. You were just so right about this. It was just like the dumbest conversation ever, because it was like, lady, this is 2024. Why are you thinking like that? It was really weird.
Wait, so, but my question, Samantha, is how was the conflict resolved between our leading couple? And the thing was, she won, and however, the company, the department store said, we want to blend the fleece. And the thing is, the guy who owns the alpaca farm was like, I let you do this as long as you don't do any blending. And so it's kind of like this compromise. And so that created a conflict and he was mad. He was like, no, you're just like all the people who lied to me. You broke your promise. You want to blend the fleece? Like, that's not okay. And she's like, I can get in there and start to make the change, but I do have to make this compromise. How was that resolved?
I don't remember how that was resolved. Okay. I just know that he came to the fashion show and they fell in love at the end.
Okay, all right, well, something happened there.
So, Danielle, is this your favorite on Lifetime for the year?
I mean, it's wild. I will give it that. That was so, it was just like wild.
I don't think it meant to be, though. That's the funny part about it. It's like, this is meant to be dead serious. And you're like, whoa, this is a wild ride that I'm on right now.
So all the alpacas have names, by the way, too.
That's cute.
Yes. And so like this fleece came from Bubbles. And like Bubbles has like a very...
Tell me Bubbles is one of the actual names.
I think so, right?
Samantha, I don't remember.
Wasn't Bubbles one of the names? Yeah, that's why I remember it.
Now I want an alpaca and I want to name it Bubbles.
Yeah, it's very cute. Yeah, and it's like, you got to hold the alpaca in a certain way because you want to protect the alpaca as well as yourself, you know, because like you don't want it to like get scared and then it might hurt you, but you also might hurt the alpaca. So you have to be very like careful and gentle. It's true. But they also spit on you. So you got to be careful. Wow. Yeah, we learned a lot.
I'm just like so curious because there's been a lot of different storylines on Lifetime this year, but like, where did this come from? This feels like so out of left field.
So random. Yeah.
I just can't, but I mean, Erin Lee, you need to watch it now, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like I have to watch this tomorrow morning.
And what's even more insane is that she, the designer, her whole game plan was to spend Christmas with her family in Rome. Like, go take a trip. So she canceled.
Right. That's like South America. Rome comes.
She cancels her trip to go to Rome in order to spend Christmas on the alpaca farm to do this competition.
Yeah, it's kind of like Project Runway, but like it's really
but on the like, farm.
It's cute alpacas. They are very cute alpacas, though. Yes. They're adorable.
Well, that's a redeeming quality. Yeah. Let's hop over to Great American Christmas, where again, I think they aired what could be the winner for Great American Christmas.
Oh, really?
I thought this one beat out the Christmas Less Traveled or whatever it was.
Oh, really? Okay.
But for a very specific reason. So this movie was called Get Him Back for Christmas. It starred Alex Penavega as Bella and Carlos Penavega as Jack. They are, of course, a married couple, and they have been in several Hallmark movies together, and now they're over on the Great American Family channel. So they were childhood sweethearts and musical collaborators, but then Bella moved away and met a famous rock star named Sage and sang with him and became famous herself. The movie opens and Sage breaks up with Bella. So she goes home to commiserate and meets Jack, her old flame.
Okay.
Now, Bella has never been confident in her songwriting ability. She was just a singer. That's all she really did. So she wants to get Sage back. So she asks Jack to help her write a song that will win Sage back. As the film progresses, it turns out that Sage is a jerk and the guy that Bella is needing to get back is actually Jack. So that's the story. It's super basic. Seen it before, seen it a million times. You know exactly what's going to happen as soon as the first line is uttered. What makes it good is the music. I liked the music. I liked the music a lot. And I liked that it wasn't just one song that they wrote. They had a song in the beginning that Bella and Sage sang. They had some songs that Jack sang. Bella wrote her own song at the end. Then, of course, they wrote the big Get Him Back for Christmas song. And I liked them all. I liked the music. So that's what got me here.
Let me ask you this. Did it have all of the common denominators of gag this year? Did it have a classic car?
It did not.
Did it have a diner?
It did not.
Oh, whoa.
And I feel like there was another one. Was there any dancing?
They do dance, yes.
Okay.
The character Jack is trying to raise money for a music education program. And so he's trying to get people to come to, I think it was called the Jingle Hop, maybe, which is held at the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army sponsored this, or they wanted to promote the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army was very present in this movie.
Interesting.
Okay.
Candace wants to really focus on the Salvation Army.
Watch it for the music. Watch it for the cameos. Mario Lopez played himself in this.
As
an Access Hollywood correspondent, yes. Okay. And then Natasha Bure had a cameo in it.
Oh, no way. Oh, really?
Yeah. She played Sage's new girlfriend.
Okay.
So it was cute. Like I said, nothing wrong with it. Basic story that we've seen a million times and we're going to see it a million more times. What made it special, what made me enjoy it was the music.
Cool.
Oh, good to know. It's good for GAC.
Great for GAC. Honestly, if this had been on Hallmark, I wouldn't have been like, what the heck is Hallmark thinking? I would have been like, that's one of Hallmark's lesser films, but
yeah, okay.
It fits. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be saying, get to GAC.
Right.
Yeah, but I feel like GAC this year has been better than before, which is very low on the expectations, but I'm just saying.
This is true, Samantha, but you did not watch The Tales of Christmas. I did.
No, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. Save yourself.
But I've watched more GAC this year than I have in the past.
That's good. We are running out of time, but I do want to make one more mention. I watched I'm going to call it Christmas adjacent. I would definitely call it full in Christmas movie, but I also think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So if you think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, you're going to think this is a Christmas movie. Netflix put out a great suspense with Taron Egerton and Jason Bateman called Carry On, which was a lot of fun.
So is it... What is it about?
How's it Christmassy?
Well, it's LAX on Christmas Eve.
Oh, what a treat. I'm going to be there on Christmas Eve this year.
And...
Same.
Taron Egerton plays a TSA agent and Jason Bateman's a mysterious man and they get an earwig in Taron Egerton's ear and they say, we're going to kill your girlfriend. When this guy comes through, you're just going to let his bag go through the x-ray machine and you're not going to search it. Let him on the plane. And so the whole movie is Taron Egerton trying to figure out how to save this plane. It's fun. It wasn't edge of my seat like Argo was, or even Die Hard, but I kept asking myself, how is he going to do it? How is he going to save the world? He's going to save the world. How is he going to do it? And that kept me interested. So check that out on Netflix.
And this is new for this year?
Yep, Netflix.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's number one on Netflix right now.
Interesting.
We'll have to watch it.
Anyway, folks, thank you so much for joining us. This is our last regular episode of the season.
Wow.
Now, the movies aren't over, and we will still be watching. We have Spicy, A Carpenter Christmas Romance to come, and several others. So we're
including the movie with the guy who won, Finding Mr. Christmas.
Yes, Finding Mr. Christmas. Happy Holidays. So we are going to watch those, and we will talk about them in our wrap-up episode, which we are planning to record in early January. So look for that in a few weeks. Other than that, thank you so much for joining us this season on Podcast in a Pear Tree. We have so much fun doing this. We hope you liked our new format. Please make sure to rate and follow.
And find us where you find your podcasts.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy Holidays. Woo!